Kimberley Indigenous people have been shown to be amongst the most disadvantaged in Australia. The Kimberley Land Council commissioned an Australian National University academic, Dr. John Taylor, to analyse 20 years of census data. He's found in a report that's been released today that 26 of the 28 Kimberley Indigenous communities included in the study were in the lowest quarter of income, employment and education. Now, there's no doubt that this is terrible, that Indigenous people live in such poverty and disadvantage, but certainly no new discovery. Reports for decades have been telling this story, so I started my interview with the CEO of the Kimberley Land Council, Wayne Bergman, by suggesting that he must have known what the results would be when he commissioned this research.
Yeah, definitely. We certainly anecdotally were aware from a day-to-day basis that the communities are in crisis. I think that's highlighted more recently by the news headlines about the housing at One Mile Community in Broome being declared unfit for human habitation. The question is, what has happened to all the so-called support that's come into the region to make a difference? Well, I mean, I'm very critical that there have been government departments who have primary responsibility but do not own the problem, and therefore when those departments change or staff change, the problem goes unanswered, and we need a different way of doing business to get better results, and we need a system where Indigenous people are empowered to take control and responsibility for their own outcomes. Because we have a vision for our future as well. We want our children to be healthy, educated, want to learn their culture, want to be able to get mainstream jobs, choose between living in communities, working in major towns or cities. We want to empower people to take that control, and we want to maintain our cultural identity.
But and you see the way to do that is by brokering a deal for this LNG gas hub, is that right?
Well, I see it as one of the major elements. The gas deal provides one opportunity to start spearheading a wider regional opportunity. Our economic research shows that if fully developed, the Commonwealth will receive something like $60 billion. And so far, the Commonwealth haven't been engaging with us about negotiating an outcome, about making sure the regional social programs are being delivered properly and have the mandate of Aboriginal people in the region. And if government programs continue to come in this region that are being imposed on us, without us helping develop the solution, then we're going to see more of the same. It's going to be money burnt, and there ain't going to be any long-term solutions.
But a lot of Aboriginal people are concerned about the costs and impacts of a gas processing hub. How does the KLC choose the position that, no, this will be good, this we're going to lobby for this, when there is such division in the Aboriginal community? Are you not representing the views of those who are opposed to it?
Well, I don't think the Land Council represents the views of what the Native Title Claim Group, what the majority says. Everybody's entitled to their opinion, and I think the Land Council carried out a very strong and transparent process that allowed everybody to voice their opinion. At the end of the day, we take the direction from the majority of the Native Title Claim Group, and the group wants to move forward on the basis that the wider regional packages are being negotiated, that there is a balance between social, cultural and environmental values, and that's the basis in which we're engaging.
So your conclusion is that particularly, I guess, Aboriginal people on the Dampier Peninsula, which is where the proposed site is at Price's Point, the majority are in favour of the LNG plan. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's certainly been the instruction from traditional owners.
And so I guess the group of traditional owners, how does that work? Aboriginal people that live on the peninsula, what sort of proportion of them are the group that get to decide? Is it all Aboriginal people up there, or is it a very small group?
Well, look, I think your question is kind of misunderstanding the basis of property rights. If you own a piece of freehold land, then you get to say what happens in it, not your neighbours, and not people renting the house. And native title is no different. It is the common law native title holders who have a property right based on their ancestral connections to country, and it is their views that is taken account of. If people oppose this, that don't have native title rights, then there is the government processes. You have rights as citizens in this country to make your voices heard, and I see a very active and live debate happening in the community.
So the Kimberley Land Council doesn't represent Aboriginal people. It represents Aboriginal people who have native title rights. If they don't have native title rights, then you're not representing them.
No, I think you're kind of...
That's just how I'm understanding it, so please explain.
Well, no, the difference is we represent a whole range of Aboriginal people with different interests. We're representing people who have been complaining about power stations being put in communities without their consent, development happening without their consent. There are situations when the wider Indigenous communities request the Land Council to come in and make a difference to ensure development, the way government engage with them happens in a way in which they get to have their say. In relation to the negotiations that happen for gas development, primarily we have to take instructions from traditional owners.
Right, so in this issue with the gas development, then it's you're representing traditional owners rather than Aboriginal people as a whole. It's just that Aboriginal people who've contacted the ABC seem to be a vast majority opposing it, for certainly people from the Dampier
Peninsula. Can you tell me, have those Aboriginal people called a public meeting to get a mandate to represent that view? I don't see the wider community, environmental groups or whoever it may be, calling a public meeting, being authorised properly, and to be clearly, they're all individuals. KLC does not act on its own whims. We have to be accountable to the claim group, and we have to act on the basis of those instructions. So I think where you're going with this is kind of is derogatory towards the common law native title holders. You know, we've had a history of no one taking account of our views about what we see as appropriate development. Everyone else is exercising citizenship rights. That's the whole institution of government and democracy behind them to express those views. Get on. If people oppose it, get on with your right to protest and do whatever you want about it. And I'm doing my job to represent the interest of Aboriginal people, traditional owners, and traditional owners have a broader social and cultural responsibility to care for other Aboriginal people, and that is the basis in which we're dealing with negotiations. We're trying to make sure there's a wider social package, not just immediate benefits for the immediate traditional owner groups. We're trying to look after the whole Kimberley.
That's Wayne Bergman there, the Chief Executive Officer of the Kimberley Land Council, explaining what his plans and his organisation's plans are to try and deal with the incredible poverty and disadvantage that once again has been shown applies to Indigenous people in the Kimberley. Another study that's come out to put Kimberley Indigenous people in the bottom group of advantaged people in Australia, the lowest quarter of income, employment and education around the region. And certainly a controversial topic, this one. If you'd like to have your say, as ever, you're welcome to.